You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
If it goes out, it means the death of millions of people, everyone watching. Don't you understand that? Well, say it's a bomb, then say whatever you want. Say whatever you like, just get it off the air. Please, you just... No, I can't prove it. You've got to believe me. Take it off the air now, please. You've got to, it means...
Wait, it's Tuesday interruption. We're having technical problems. Please stand by.
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Guys, well, my eardrums, how about yours? Welcome to episode 202 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. That's right, it's me, Orlando's number one film critic, hosting Florida's number one movie podcast, Cinema Crespediso. You found us, congratulations. If it's your first time, good work. If you've been here before, you know the deal. Here's this week's threat level update. This week's threat update, current threat level is khaki. Oh. Your memes make no sense.
Have they ever?
Your memes make no sense. Threat level is khaki, guys. Drewster Cogburn was supposed to go on a vision quest. He wasn't supposed to be here.
No, you're right. I was supposed to go on a vision quest.
But here's Drewster Cogburn.
I made it all the way out there. Then my partner on the vision quest smacked himself in the face with a very large log, and we had to take him to the hospital for stitches.
Why would he do that?
Well, you know, he was chopping firewood and took like a 30-pound log to the face.
He did. You're not supposed to chop. Whack. Don't chop firewood with your orbital socket.
No,
not good.
Nope.
So failed vision quest.
Well, I mean, he had a bit of a vision quest. He got further along than I did.
I was looking forward to...
He might have a mild concussion.
I thought the next Drewster Cogburn's, Dr. Drew's Two Cents was going to be so profound after post-vision quest.
It could have been.
But now we'll see what it is, now that it's...
Apparently, it wasn't meant to be, Chris.
Oh, man. God damn, I was so excited.
Wasn't in the cards.
Well, we got a very special episode here because I have not one returning guest, but two. Oh, shit, that's rare. We never did. That was the only other time we've done that. Episode 100.
There we go.
With Curtis Earth and Cabin was Matt.
Yes.
Matt from SBK Live.
The Swerve Jones Show Takeover.
There we go. That's the closest button I had. It was either that one or Drew's Nazis.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't blame that for us.
Yeah. Doesn't that just sound like Nazis?
Drew says they're Nazis.
He says they're supporters, but listen to it. Hit the button and listen.
Those are Nazis. It's kind of what it makes me think.
Button says supporters on it.
They were supporters.
They were supporting.
Ladies and gentlemen from the Swervy Jones Show, Trey and Swervy are both here. That's right, guys.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Well, you know, I figure.
How dare you?
Swervy, I had you on about a year ago. Almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
And then Trey came and hang out. I was like, that was nice to meet Trey. Yeah. What was that? What did you hear that?
What?
Like a boom. Did you hear that? Am I the only one that heard that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going crazy. It's official. I'm going crazy. Swervy came in and Trey was hanging out, and it was cool. And we got to meet him. And then I believe I invited you over in April of this year, Trey.
Yes.
And Survey came and hang out. I was like, hey, yeah. Survey, what's up, dude? How's it going? Nice to see you, man.
I'm like, no, I want to go too.
So I figured, why not just get both guys on if you're going to travel in pairs?
Why not?
Yeah.
And then say you arrive separately. What the fuck? You motherfuckers. You couldn't coordinate that one. But hey, thanks for coming on, guys. I appreciate
Trey it. Trey was in edit mode. He was like,
mm-hmm. working hard.
Lost the time and was like, oh shit.
That happens. That totally happens. But thank you guys so much for coming back. We're going to have a good time.
Thanks and because for inviting us back.
Yeah, well, of course, man. Like, I listen to your show all the time, every Monday. I was telling you off mic. It was an off mic conversation, but I listen every mm-hmm. week, and yeah. It's a very fun show. You guys are the contributors to the current theme song. To the opening of the theme song. It's going to be that way so for a couple a while, months. Yeah.
I told Trey you should do like an R&B version of it.
If you want to.
A nice long one.
Hey. I'll just loop that. I'll start working there. I'm always listening, so I'll get all the snippets from all the shows. And I'll put them together.
It's crisp.
There we go. Yeah, you got to do the Barry White style.
Yeah,
I can make that. Oh, see if I had that. Part. All the. Yes. Yeah. There we go. Oh shit! I'm supposed to shut it off. Yeah, it gets weird.
And we're back.
It gets weird in here, guys. You saw Doctor Strange, right? You know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting with Drew. But anyway, we'll talk about that when we do the box office recap. But all right, let's get into the show. We got a lot to do. First off, we got the old Netflix pick of the week, which means I play the intro for that, which is... Which button is it? Oh, here we go. They're so small. The buttons are so small.
We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix, it's the pick of the week.
You guys gotta decide who wants to reach in the bag. One of you. Trey took control. Good job, Trey. Here we go. Pass that over to Drew so he can double check, make sure it is on Netflix. Also, you know how they do. The licenses run out, so it comes up or down or whatever. So Drew just double checks. Like, I got burned that one time when the pick was too cute. The Animal Planet series.
Yeah, you told everybody to watch it, and it was gone.
I was like, guys, go watch season one of Too Cute. That's this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. And then,
is that the one with the dogs and the cats?
The puppies and the kittens.
Yeah,
and they follow them from their whole puppy lives. And someone narrated it. It's like little Cindy's learning how to walk. And it's now more than ever, we need stuff like Too Cute.
Yeah.
But then I recommended, I effused about it, and then I checked it out on Netflix, and it was gone. I was like, oh, motherfucker. But Drew gave us a thumbs up. We're good to go. So, guys, go ahead. What is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
It is Cape Fear.
Oh, shit. That's a fucking classic. A remake of a classic. One of the few times when a remake is just as good as, if not better than, the original.
Okay.
It's a Martin Scorsese movie. He just had his birthday, Martin Scorsese. Oh, shit, that's fucking...
How old is he?
73, 74, maybe even a little older. He's an older gentleman for sure. I mean, when he did Wolf of Wall Street, he was 71, I think, so 72, 73 years old. Mm-hmm. And still going, so there's a few movies left in him. Actually, he almost retired like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then working with Leonardo DiCaprio, like kind of, he said it's like working with DiCaprio has kind of reinvigorated me for movies again. That's why he's made so many. Yeah, that's why he's made so many with them. They just announced they're doing another one together.
How many films have they done?
Like six or seven, I think. Cape Fear is him and De Niro's ninth or tenth movie together, something like that. So DiCaprio's like his new De Niro.
Jonah Hill's teeth. Everybody knows that. That's what jump started him.
You know, good old Jonah Hill, man. That guy, that was a fucking amazing performance. And actually, if you look at that movie, he looks so weird compared to like normally. Because he's like, he did that thing where he's sort of thin.
Yeah, he's fat thin.
But his face just got like kind of rectangle. It was weird. You know, I don't want to like fat shame a guy because I'm fat as hell. But the
trapezoids.
Weird. Even when he loses the weight, he's like, you're so fat, weird looking dude. And then for some like war dogs, when he doesn't give a shit about his weight, and he's like, it's like, goddamn, looks like he ate the wrong candy at the chocolate factory. Is that the new threat level update? What's the next one? Has it changed to cyan?
That's my built-in alarm.
Oh, okay, good stuff. Just wanted to make sure
it was
we're
just
good,
telling
man.
Me that we're at khaki and what was the other thing?
Your memes are no good. Your memes are no good. Your vision quest has failed.
I get that Chris Crespo update.
That's good. It's it's all about the angst of the day. What is today's angst? You gotta stay on top of the angst.
Cape Fear will fucking get you on your goddamn angsty. That's a crazy movie. It's a kind of a horror film. It's a Scorsese version of a horror film, so it's a thriller. Yeah, it's a psychological thriller. Nick Nolte is the prosecutor who puts away the criminal played by De Niro. De Niro gets out of prison and he starts stalking the prosecutor and his family and his daughter played by Juliette Lewis, and like at one part he sticks his like finger in Juliette Lewis's mouth, his thumb. Mm-hmm.
Get your fingers out of my mouth.
Yeah, but now she's kind of into it though, because it's a weird Lolita type of thing.
You did the finger motion. I thought you were going to say something way more
dramatic. Hey, well, you know what? It's a 90s movie. The symbology, the symbol behind it. You know, if you see that in a movie, like a girl walks home alone at night.
Yeah.
There's a scene where this girl is a vampire, like meets up with this dude, and she's gonna eat him and fucking suck his blood or whatever because he's a dirtbag. Yeah. But to sort of like seduce him, she lets him like stick his finger in her mouth, and he like runs it back and forth, and so it looks like she's sucking his dick. And it's the standing for it. It's
and then
like,
I'm pretty sure she bites the finger. Bites it right off.
And then she bites the finger. I think that's how it goes down. Yeah. But
ooh,
so
don't bite my dick.
No. Yeah. So it's like
exactly.
No. The person making this movie was like, I want people to see this movie. So I have a scene where the vampire is sucking his dude's dick and then bites it. It's prospects are gonna go way down. I want to display like Sundance, not you know at Fright Fest.
Yeah.
So it's the symbology, the finger in the mouth. When you see that shit, you go ahead and
it's the first thing.
It's a dick.
Yeah.
Or if it's woman on woman, it's a clit. I mean, go ahead.
We get it.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, we get it. We get it, guys.
And smaller kisses.
So that should totally Man, yeah, that shit totally happens in Cape Fear. So check it out, guys. Netflix is a pick of the week. It's a fucked up one for Thanksgiving week. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect for the malaise of days. All right. Guys, time for the box office recap. I mean, you know what? I even have a quick thing here. I'll go ahead and hit that button. I mean, it's obvious, but it works. It's a box office recap. Yeah. It's not in the top five, but I'm going to talk about it real quick here. Maybe Drew can find it.
Not on the top.
Not even on the list 49. Anywhere. No one's even seen this movie.
It's not in the top 49.
But guys, real quick, I saw this movie over here at the Enzian, the local art house nonprofit theater where you see all your weirdo foreign movies and films and shit. And I saw this movie called The Handmaiden. Have you ever seen Old Boy? Either of you? Korean film Old Boy? Have you heard of it?
No.
Old Boy is this fucked up movie from like over 10 years ago, like 2003, 2004. And it made a big splash here in America. And that guy's kind of like
fucked up
because how fucked up it was and how well made it is and shit. Yeah. And that guy's gone on to make a bunch of other movies of various success around the world. This is his latest one. And it's a bit of a masterpiece. It's like a psychosexual thriller set during, I don't even know the time period, 1920s, I think. A
lot of fingers in the mouth.
Dude,
so many fingers and so many mouths.
Maybe that's why I brought it up.
One dude actually.
Because it doesn't happen in Cape Fear, but it happens in this movie.
Let me guess. There's one scene where some dude's got five chicks sucking his hand.
Oh man, no. That's a tension.
That is a wide hand. You really got to spread those fingers.
No. Really,
Andre the Giant's small hand.
Tiny Asian ladies.
Oh my, really tiny. That's still.
It's like going to NBA City and trying to fit your hand on the basketball.
Is it secure? That does not work.
Hey, no, my hand don't fit on this.
I can do it. It does. There are parts, though. All right, I did go see this movie by myself, and it's one of those things where there's some scenes that are quite sexually graphic, and then I was like, oh, I didn't know. Has this ever happened to you where you see a movie and like you're in it? Maybe not, but you see the movie in a theater by yourself and then like some sex scenes come up and then you're worried like other people in the theater might think that like, oh, that guy knows that these scenes are in this movie.
That's what he's here for.
This is his 10th time seeing this movie. It's what he's been waiting for. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. It's only bad if you're lip syncing all the words in the movie.
You're the lone pervert.
Or those are the only scenes where you sit forward, you're like, oh, here we go. You start talking like really, really start muttering. Oh, fine. Sandra, shit. God damn it. You know, that'd be creepy, right? If you started doing that?
Are you that guy?
I'm creeped out right now?
You should be.
Are you that guy?
No, I'm not. Because
I think you should do that.
I didn't even know.
Film yourself doing that.
Like a YouTube
reaction
video.
Get like a little microphone and...
Look at this, all this weirdness. It does get very sexual at times, right? But it's but the story, it's not just like for sex sake, you know, or just to be titillating. It's a crazy movie that has like it's like a twist and then a double twist. You're like, oh shit, and then it's like triple twist. It's kind of a puzzle type thing, and then it all comes together at the end. And then it comes together at the end in a kind of scissory type of way. It's a very interesting movie, I gotta say. The Handmaiden. It's from the guy who did Old Boy. So people at home, if they know Old Boy, they should know that this is a movie worth watching. Guys, you should start with Old Boy before you... Handmaiden's almost a little advanced at this point.
I'd rather start with Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy is one of my favorite movies, man. First off, let me tell you.
Was Battle Royale...
Chris was a Grandma's Boy.
Battle Royale is Japanese.
Japanese.
Yes, but fantastic.
Fucking oh, so
love,
good.
Love that movie.
So good.
That's like 2001, and Old Boy is only 2 years later. That's like around the same time when a lot of like Asian cinema was crossing over, so you're getting stuff from Korea, Japan, and China, and... That was big on college campuses and stuff like that, I remember. Grandma's Boy, that movie came out in January, like right in the middle of the month, which was right around my birthday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, first off, birthday present to me, Grandma's Boy already. And then it's about a dude who plays video games and he lives at his grandma's house. And I was living at my grandma's house at the time. So I was like,
I'm video games for you.
I was like, I'm a grandma's boy. I identify with Alan Covert. he was in his mid-30s at the time, and I was like in my early 20s. So still, it was a little different. It was like if I lived with my grandma now, people were like, oh. Especially since he's about to move into a home type situation. So it'd be like really awkward if I moved in with her there. Although she's going to have her own kitchen and stuff.
Yeah.
But she also has the glaucoma, so I don't know how that's going to work out.
I don't know.
Should I not be putting family information out on the show? People don't care.
You got to get her on that. You got to get her on that medical, bro.
She
got glaucoma.
Yeah. She'll love it. She'll get the oils or something. Yeah. Man, maybe she can make it. Maybe she can hold out, grandma, hold out for another year or two to get them to work out the business side of that medical stuff to get get the dispensaries. We haven't been medicalizing before the show at all.
No.
The Handmaiden, guys, is a great movie. Check it out if possible. I mean, apparently it's not even playing in enough theaters to rank on the box office, like top 50.
49.
Maybe it's number 50. What's the number 49 movie?
The number 49 movie this week is Greater.
What? Greater?
Greater.
Like a cheese grater?
No, like greater, like G-R-E-A-T-E-R.
Oh, like great, greater,
put
greatest?
Put that movie on a nacho.
It was in two theaters, and it made $776.
What? You're saying this movie made more than $776 at the Enzian this weekend? Come on, man. I can't believe it's not on that list. Box Office Mojo, you slipping. All right, let's get into the real box office recap, top five.
Coming at number five this week.
I'm not going to do it every time.
Almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas.
Made $7 million, total of 25.
All right. I like to call this one, it's the Black National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Thanksgiving vacation.
Pretty much.
Because it's a typical
thing.
The whole family comes home for Thanksgiving dinner instead of Christmas and, whatever. How much did it make total?
Total of 25.
25? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Does it have a budget?
17.
That's it?
You gave it a whatever.
It's a whatever. It's a whatever. Have you seen the trailers?
The trailers are
It's
not
a
very good.
It's a whatever.
It's whatever.
I want to be like, hey, I love holiday movies, Christmas movies. I even, when they replayed, they do the cult classics at the Enzian. And a few years ago, they did National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation for $5. And I was like, how can I not? Even show it on film and everything. And it's like, fuck, I'll go and drink a few beers. And then it was sold out. It was like a theater full of people. Everyone having a good time.
Nice.
Seeing a movie that we all enjoyed together. And it's weird when they do certain movies and then like people that we know, what they pipe up for. Like, we know this one guy who's like a... He's like this army aggro dude, like heavy drinker, fucking all the chicks type of guy.
Yeah.
His favorite movies are like the worst movies in the world and all this stuff. But then I tell him, oh, Coen Brothers, Hudsucker Proxy. We're going to see that at the end. And he's like, oh, Hudsucker Proxy. I like that movie. It's like, what? Like, this one of all the movies? And he went and came and saw that one. It was so fucking weird. And then he's like, I'm going to go back to playing Call of Duty.
Yep.
Weird guy. And Magic the Gathering. He's a weird guy.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
Real person. All that's
yes.
true. All that's
all one. Very true.
Drew Sycogren can corroborate.
Yes, I can.
And collaborate and listen. Yes, I'm talking about.
Coming to number four this week.
Dre is busting out the news. Oh, that's why we need the drone in the corner.
Yeah.
In the corner.
All the dance mix.
Record this all the time.
Coming to number four this week. Arrival, weekend gross of $11.8 million, total of 43.
The sci-fi movie with Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner. We saw this and reviewed it last week. Does that have a budget there?
47.
47, total 43. All right, it's going to make its money. It's doing pretty good. It's a good movie. Are you guys into sci-fi? What kind of sci-fi do you like?
With sci-fi movies, it's hit or miss. So
are you more
occasionally I want to see something, and yeah. sometimes I'm just like, yeah.
Do you like the when? Or how about like do you like Star Wars, or it's like pew pew and swords, light swords, or do you like Star Trek, where it's like dots and ideas and other?
I haven't watched Star Wars in a while.
Fair enough.
But I've watched the Star Trek movies.
Interesting.
I'm a Star Wars guy, and I just recently got into Star Trek since
the new stuff.
The new ones.
The new ones, yeah. They're just directed beautifully.
Yeah, like the new one that just came out, the Star Trek Beyond?
Fell asleep in it, but that was because I was working 60 hours a week. It's fine.
yeah, for sure. You gotta take context of that. That's why
I felt... albino chick, though. She's pretty hot, so...
Oh, yeah. That's a chick from... did you see Kingsman, The Secret Service?
Yeah.
That's the chick with the blade feet.
Same girl.
It's the same girl. Sophia Boutella, I think her name is. And she's also gonna be... in the new Mummy movie. Universal's doing a new Mummy reboot. Mm-hmm. She's the Mummy. She's the fucking... It's a female mummy, and it's her. Tom Cruise is the Brendan Fraser character. Or the Brendan Fraser... Tom Cruise plays Brendan Fraser. Yes,
there's two people I hate in this Brendan world. It's Tom Cruise and Brendan Fraser. Yeah. And I'll be watching that.
I want to see them both together. That'd be awesome. Can we just do all Brendan Fraser movies, remake them all, but with Tom Cruise? Mm-hmm. Like Encino Man starring Tom Cruise?
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be good. I'd see that. Yeah. Just him acting like walking through a high school. He's like 55 years old.
Are we going to bring Pauly Shore back to reprise his role?
Yeah. No. He needs the money. Please, God.
Not to reprise his role, but he'll be in it. Yes, he'll be like a teacher or something.
I think he'll be like the dad.
Sean Astin, he'll be in it. Sean Astin's going to be in Stranger Things.
What?
Yeah, what's his name? What's his name in Samwise Gamgee? Samwise Gamgee's gonna be in Stranger Things. That's pretty cool. Anyway, Arrival, guys. We reviewed it last week. It's a good movie. If you like sci-fi, it's good. Okay. This is a type of movie where it's like it's like the aliens arrive, but it's more about like trying to communicate with them. And, and the idea of language and the conception of time.
It's the trailer where it's like it slaps on the wall. And then it cuts to the girl. She's like, we just don't understand them.
Yeah, something like that. Like, yes, exactly. 100%. Okay. It's that's the whole movie. But I think it does depend on the style of sci-fi that you're into. If you're into Star Trek, if you're into that more than Star Wars.
I'm into Closure. If I watch a movie.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you'll definitely get Closure.
Okay. Yeah, this is not set up to be like Arrival 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, or anything like that.
No, this is a one-shot.
When there's no Closure, I feel uncomfortable.
I'm annoyed by that. comic book movies. As a comic book fan, that's interesting, too, that you're annoyed by Closure. Because comic books only exist because of non-Closure. Yeah. Of stories perpetually going on forever.
There's enough Closure that's relevant to said movie.
How many times?
But it's not a full Closure.
But I mean, even in the comic books themselves, like how many times is Batman gonna put the Joker away?
Yeah.
Just for him to get away and fight another day. This is bad shit. Mm-hmm. Someone's gotta die. Didn't he die? He's already died. Joker's died a couple times.
He's died a couple times,
All you gotta do is give him a handful of pills. That's fine.
And you want Closure? Too far? Sitting there wearing a Superman? No, that's fine. Wearing a Superman. Give him pills? But did he come back? That's a problem. Because one writer would give him a bunch of pills and he'd die. And then the next writer would come and be like, oh, the Joker resurrected by a... bullshit. God damn it, comic books. Get your act together.
Yeah, some of that stuff, like... So you gotta let it be what it is.
You
do a modern version of it, but don't try to change everything about it.
And then the thing is, when you're doing it movie-wise, it takes 2 years to make a movie for it to come out. And then the movie comes out, and then it has like a big open ending. It's like, all right, now this is going to pick up 2 years from now. Yeah. Like, God damn it, guys. It's fucking killing me here. Just, give me some closure.
Superman's dead. Again.
Superman's dead again. So. Spoiler alert for Batman vs. Superman. 8-month spoiler alert. 10-month. How long has it been on DVD?
It's been a while.
You guys see that Batman v. Superman?
Yeah.
You guys got sad.
He told me not to, though.
I told him not to.
It's not good.
It's not that good. It's not good. It's got its moments.
Because he's already like just a little bit into certain comic movies.
Like what?
If he finds it to sound interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't want to watch this. It'll damage your concept of Superman and Batman and stuff.
True. Fair enough. Do you like any of the Batman movies over the years?
I can't say that I've actually enjoyed any of them.
Really?
It's not really a franchise that I've gotten behind really good, you know? It's all right.
I mean, that's not for everyone. Everyone can't like everything, you know?
I like a concept of a superhero to where he has some flaws, and Superman really doesn't have any flaws except for that kryptonite thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's the Boy Scout.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people always forget that, you know, Superman is also a fucking alien.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
He's not Superman. He is alien.
He's trying to fit in.
He's got adult onset allergies against kryptonite.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's like reverse allergies with the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
The thing that
is like the number one complaint with that dude for sure. This guy's sitting there wearing a Superman shirt.
Yeah.
Defend your choices, sort of.
This is the old logo. I'm into the older version of Superman.
That is the original, more original logo. The new one looks weird with the like the texture of the shirt, the clothing or
it
whatever.
It stands for hope.
Yeah, so that's lame. That's fucking lame.
I do like that they created a whole language though. With the symbols.
I like that they created that whole with Man of Steel, like the backstory.
I really liked that whole Krypton nonsense with fucking with Jor-El and everything.
With Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe was that was awesome. And then the movie, you know, wasn't.
And then
good
it turned into something else.
Yeah.
The Man of Steel wasn't that bad.
I like Man of Steel.
The Batman v Superman.
100%. I think Man of Steel is much better. As much as I like that intro to Man of Steel with the Krypton, it's like 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
They're making that into a TV show on, like, FX. They're doing a Krypton TV show. That's the whole, like...
But now you know how it ends.
Yeah, but now you know exactly how the show's going to end.
Kaboom!
Yeah. Once Jor-El's born, you're like, oh, that's a ticking time clock. Or Kal-El's born, excuse me.
Yeah.
And it's like, as much as I liked the intro of Man of Steel, I do not... care one iota about seeing it as a TV show.
Yeah,
I think it's because the Gotham like seems to be working out. So like, oh, we can do this with Superman.
Yeah. But Superman's not a dark character. That's where I think they're missing it.
That's
they
why
keep they're... making him too dark.
Yes, that's what they're doing. And now when he comes back, he's gonna be in like the black suit. He's gonna be black suit Superman for a minute there.
Which was a dark time for Superman in the comics.
It's also a dark time for America. You know, that Dixiecrat Clinton just got into office. The Iraq War was ending. Actually, it was a pretty good time. What were they thinking killing Superman like that for? And breaking Batman's back at the same time. I got those. You want those? $5 each. I got issues. Batman, Bane breaks Batman's back and the return of Superman. I'll sign that in graphic novel form and the return of the Superman. I give it all to you now. $20.
I have the actual comic to comic collections of them.
God damn it. I got those too.
Coming in at number 3 this week.
Beautiful for a friend. 1 through 15, you son of a bitch.
Yes.
Man. Trey interested at all in these old comic books that are worth nothing?
No.
What do you think?
Nerds.
No, nobody's interested in your shitty comic books, Chris.
Damn it.
Coming at number 3 this week.
Number 3.
Trolls made $17.5 million, total of 116.
Trolls are good for you guys.
I'm surprised.
Better than I thought it would. Justin Timberlake's pushing it, I guess.
Yeah, I saw him do an interview or a clip of an interview. It was like he thought it would be too superficial initially, but then read something about it that I think it was a certain character that he liked. And so that's why I did the movie. The whole time I'm just thinking, you did the movie because of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like they gave you money, the check cleared, and you worked in a recording booth for like a week.
Well, they probably said, oh, we'll give you the soundtrack and you can do a song for it and that'll keep you in the public eye for a while.
And that song came out like 2 months ago, I think. And they used that to promote the movie and stuff. It's a win-win for everyone except for us and the people who actually sit through the movie.
Coming in number 2 this week.
That sucks for them. Number 2, here we go.
Doctor Strange,
all right.
$17.6 million, total of 181.
We did our spoiler bonus episode on that a couple weeks ago. You can check that out. But Trey, you saw Doctor Strange.
I did see Doctor Strange.
So that's interesting. What compelled you to see this one of all comic book movies?
Word of mouth. Everybody was talking about it and in a good way, and they weren't wrong.
What were they saying? What were you hearing? That was like, that intrigues me.
Visually, one of the best movies a lot of people have seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Just because it's just a kaleidoscope of just ridiculousness.
At times, literally.
Yeah, like, literally,
Literal kaleidoscope.
It was a hallucinatory adventure.
Yeah. That's why I was like, Drew's going on a vision quest. He got inspired by Dr. Strange to learn the ways of the Ancient One.
I already haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? I already gotta see it, bro.
I already know the ways of the Ancient One.
You already know the ways of the Ancient One.
Like learned that. It without a vision quest.
Oh yeah.
Did you see it in 3D? Not 3D.
No, I don't. I'm not a 3D guy. Makes me dizzy.
It was
makes you dizzy. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you would have been super dizzy.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, this movie, things are literally spinning around. Yeah, that would have fucked you up. But I'm not a 3D guy either. Normally, just because I don't like the gimmick. But the only outside of Jungle Book this year, I haven't seen a 3D movie since Prometheus, which was like 4 years ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. I went and saw this one in 3D, and like I loved every second of it in the nice. Third dimension.
Yeah,
the part where he gets sent through the wormhole, and like his hands turn into tiny hands.
Yeah,
and then he gets like sucked into his own eyeball, and he's like trying to hold it in the eyeball. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's trippy.
Yeah, that's like 10 seconds and like a 4 minute montage of weirdness, and it kept going. Yeah. The thing is, it kept going
for a while.
I was like, what? Did they just expect people to...
Yes, they went to the weird.
Way beyond weird.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
It went there. It's cool.
I will say this.
Yes.
The best Marvel movie that I've seen so far.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. It may be because I didn't have any preconceived notions about the character before walking into it.
That helps.
But it was really good.
Did you like the Cumberbatch?
Yeah.
Do you like him normally?
No.
No. But he was pretty good in this. I'm not the biggest fan. I think he's fine. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was really good and good casting for his movie.
Yeah, I think they developed the character well, too, because he was kind of a dick as the doctor.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
The arrogant surgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then even towards the end, he's still kind of dickish, but it's like a little more well-meaning.
Reformed
dick. Yeah, he's a reformed dick. he cannot be a dick, but he's going to be sort of reformed about it. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
He's still going to be snarky.
Yeah, very
snarky. I guess a reformed dick's better than no dick.
Yes. Is it? Or all dick. No, or better than all dick.
Yeah.
No dick is better than all dick. Than no dick. What?
What happened?
What joke are we making? I talked about someone to a dick circle here. That's
not
true. Whoa. You don't want to talk to someone to a dick circle.
No.
No. Unless that's your thing. Unless that's your thing.
I'm going to need more Takata for that.
Damn it. We got to refill that fridge, the beer fridge. So you like Doctor Strange, you would, just like it was recommended to you, you would recommend it to other people.
For sure.
Interesting. All right, there you go.
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to talk yourself out of dick circles, not into dick circles.
Like, damn it. How did I talk myself into this? Drew's still trying to figure out how do you talk yourself out of the dick circle. That's a failed vision quest for sure. If you end up in a dick circle, you're like, what did I do wrong? That ayahuasca took me down the wrong path.
You failed at life.
Failed.
If you end up in a dick circle.
I'm not talking about
if you're in the middle of the dick circle.
Yeah, the middle of the dick circle.
Yeah, it's not a place to be.
Unless that's your thing. In which case, you won.
Yeah.
Like, but did you though?
We're getting meta existential with it. All right, enough dick circle talk. So,
coming to
my recommends Doctor Strange, like we all do. Thank you very much. Amazing. Number one,
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes,
weekend gross of $75 million, same as total budget of 180.
180. God damn, $75 million is right around what they were tracking for the last couple of weeks. So that's not bad. I didn't see it because it's been a crazy weekend, and of all the movies to see, I wanted to see that Korean one before, because it was about to get yanked out of the NZN this week, and I was going to miss my chance. But Trey, you saw it.
I did see it.
First off, Harry Potter fan, yes or no?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Did you see the movies?
Did
you skip them? Did you try them?
The wife is always watching. She's a Harry Potter fan. They're on in the house. I mean, I can't really get into
it. So you're aware of it ephemerally. It's around. Yeah, you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
But you're not getting into
it.
No. Are you a Harry Potter fan, Swervy?
I watched them, but I didn't chase them down.
Did you see them all? All eight of them?
I think so.
I don't know. They kind of blur together after a while.
Yes, they do fucking blur together.
I can't distinguish any of them from any of the other ones.
But you've seen them all?
Yes.
Okay.
I've
only seen the first five. Yes, I've seen the first five. I haven't seen six or seven part one or seven part two. Never read the books.
Yeah, and then,
you know, I was thinking about it today. The first Harry Potter movie, our friend, Ron B. Long Beach Englewood, he's the one who took me to go see it. He's like, you want to go see the Harry Potter movie? And I was like, the Harry Water movie? And on the way to the theater,
what?
Yeah, I was like, what? And on the way to the theater, he was telling me that it's a book series, it's popular, there's already a few of them, they're making a whole series of them, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay, Wizard School, okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was okay.
And then boom.
They made a lot of money, and it became Harry Potter, this huge thing, right? And then, and for the first five movies, there was always someone around that was like, let's go see the Harry Potter. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
And then the sixth one came out, and I looked around me, and there was no one that was like, all those people had moved away or done other stuff, and there was no one to be like, hey, you want to go see Harry Potter? And since I wasn't compelled to go see it, I was like, yeah.
Well, the last three are probably the best ones, though, because
you get the closure. You finally get the closure.
And it gets really dark.
Yeah, really dark. And all the action and stuff. Yeah. So that's why I've been like, should I watch that last, like, skip the other ones I missed and just watch the last one and see the Harry Potter Voldemort fight that apparently lasts only, like, for a minute and they just, like they wand each other for a couple seconds and then it's over. That's why I heard
it. It's really fucking lame.
That's a bummer. Are you kidding me? So that's why it's like, so I realized I didn't care about any of the characters. So then when the Fantastic Beasts promo started, I was like, well, now do I care about the universe? Do I care about this world? I do like going to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Get me one of them frozen butterbeers, man. Yeah. That's some delicious caramel shit, man. It's like it's like fucking cream soda slushy. It's so good.
I would have described it a little better than caramel shit, but fair enough.
It's frozen caramel shit.
Yeah, it was frozen. It was frozen. They're going to do the hot caramel shit soon, so you can get ready if you like the hot shit.
Yeah.
Did you write, have you,
I don't like hot shit.
You don't like hot shit?
You don't like hot shit?
No one likes hot shit. Unless it's music, and then you do want that hot
shit.
Hot
shit.
Yeah. All the Nelly. It's like, this is that hot shit, yo. It's like, which one?
Hot shit's all perspective.
You write that Hogwarts? Yeah, it is perspective. Hot shit's all about perspective. Yeah. That's today's lesson. You write that Hogwarts train?
Yeah, at Universal?
Yeah.
That's definitely cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The video screen pops up, and it's like, they even got the, like, fucking poor Daniel Radcliffe. They put him on a broom. It's like, come on, we'll pay $10,000. It's like, hi, friends. We're going to see the Beatles play at the Stonehenge in England. Stuff like that.
I'm interested in all the sound, though, behind that ride, because, you know, essentially they have to fake that you're in a train and it's moving, and then there's voices outside, and there's speakers all in the thing.
That you're going on a big journey, and really you're just going from one park to the other. It's like probably just a Sibylla track, she's going really slow, so they got maybe they're shaking the car a little extra, making it's all the what do they call it, Disney,
the Imagineers,
the Imagineering.
Yeah,
that shit's off the fucking hook, man. Are you kidding me? I love that stuff.
I haven't been to a theme park in years.
Oh man, you don't know what you're missing. I would go to Universal
4 years.
4 years?
4 years.
That predates Moe's Tavern and all that. Dude, I would go to Universal now just to get a Krusty Burger and then go to Moe's Tavern instead of the bar and drink a fucking Duff beer because they got it.
Nice.
And it's good.
Duff Amber is delicious.
When I was there, they didn't have Duff Amber. They have Duff Amber now. Oh, I gotta go back. Drew, we gotta go.
Chris, we've been talking about getting annual passes for the last 6 months.
I know, my car keeps breaking down. Money. God damn it, money.
I think I'm gonna do the passes for the kids.
The passes, perfect. Yeah. And
then, they're getting
to
that age too.
They can run around and play. They even have like the carnival section to play games, and you can chill at the Duff Garden Brewery that's outside.
Nice.
And just drink big boy beers and watch people walk around and get fucking hammered drunk.
Way past due for a park trip.
Yeah, it's a movies park, so of course I'm gonna Universal and shit. And I still appreciate the original one over Island of Adventure again because all the stupid movie stuff, like the horror makeup show.
Yeah,
shit all the time. But then the Harry Potter stuff is so immersive. Like, I'm not even a fan of the Harry Potter things. When you walk into, like, go around the corner and then you're in, what it's is
boom.
That?
Boom. Whatever the fuck it is. I don't even know.
Gringotts, or that's the bank. Hogwarts is pretty much. Hogwarts is the other side.
Yeah, and it's something with the.
It's like where the train station is, where it pops you out, and it's where all the shops are and everything, and the dragon's up there and it spits fire out, like, every hour.
Oh,
15
Diagon,
minutes.
Diagon Alley.
Diagon Alley, thank you, sir. That's
I don't
how
think
much,
I've been there since.
That's how little we know about Harry Potter. Yeah, that opened like 2 years ago, I think.
I have no idea what that's like.
Dude, it is immersive because you walk around the corner and then it's like it's so tall, you don't see anything else. That's all, you're just surrounded. You're in Harry Potter's world. It's fucking crazy. Wow.
The sight lines are beautiful in that half of the park. Nice. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
They just look and it feels like you're in a giant city, but it's like a half a block.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is because it loops you around and stuff. And then they have all block pockets and like little alleyways and shit too that you can kind of get wandered down and. It's wild, all that stuff. So even as not a fan of Harry Potter, I'm like, that stuff is dope. All that being said, it's kind of part of the reason why I was like, I'm going to see the Korean movie. I'm a fan of that director over the Harry Potter spinoff.
Yeah.
But Trey, you saw it because of the wife.
Yeah. She felt like she dragged me to it. I kind of wanted to see it because it looked like an interesting concept.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a fresh start.
It is,
you know, because by the time everybody started getting into Harry Potter, it was just too late for me. It was like third movie and I'm like, eh.
Yeah, you feel like you're playing catch up and shit. Yeah, it's like why I haven't watched The Wire yet. It's like, goddamn, I got five seasons of that stuff. One day I'll get to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was decent.
A lot of creativity.
Strong words here. Decent.
Yeah. Creativity going into the animation of all the beasts and stuff.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
Are there are there a lot of beasts? It is called Fantastic Beasts. Are there a bunch of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He takes you down into that briefcase of his and shows you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. All right, cool. Shows you the whole world.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And there's a lot of flipping and flopping. You know how they do that little spinny thing and they disappear and they pop up and over to other places?
Yeah.
A lot of that shit going on. And yeah. I was like, fuck, man.
A lot of easy teleporting around places.
I'd be here.
Yeah. It's an easy device, I guess, you can write into something to get your characters around and do things.
So, I wasn't into it.
All right, so you seem like you liked it, but you're not that into it, though.
Yeah, there wasn't a villain. Like a defined villain
interesting
to me, like, you know, usually movie good versus evil, you know,
right.
And it wasn't as defined as I thought it should be, so it kind of left me hanging at that point
because it felt like we're talking about they're building up to something as opposed to closure. It's like we're leading up to something bigger.
Yeah,
that's fucking annoying.
Well, they got four more movies.
That's what I say.
Four more movies.
It's
Did your wife like it?
Yeah, she loved it.
As Harry Potter, she loved it.
If you're a Harry Potter fan, go see it. I mean, it'll blow your tits off.
All right, but for us here in the room, as not necessarily Harry Potter fans, it'd be more of a maybe a DVD watch at home.
You know what? DVD in a 4K situation.
But on a good TV, you're saying.
Yeah,
so you're saying it's still the visually might even be, still be worth seeing in a theater if you like seeing movies.
Yeah.
All
right.
Sounds like a drive-by walk. Like the TV's on and you walk by and you get into like a scene and as soon as the scene clips you're like
oh, I'm talking about something. Oh, I gotta get back to work. I've done that all the time.
It's the FX special.
Oh, can you the FX is the master. They're the master of playing movies that have like good scenes.
Yeah.
Or like they make for good commercials. But then overall it's like this movie sucks. Do you have the Rotten Tomatoes there for pulled up any chance for Fantastic Beasts?
76%.
76% positive out of how many reviews?
Out of 207 reviews.
207, 76% of them are positive. What's the average rating though?
6.9.
6.9 out of 10, where would you go?
Out of 10? Probably six. Seven? Yeah. Six. So, I mean, it's right there. I mean,
6 or 7, so go 6.5. Right around there. All right, let's see what they say. I bet you it matches up here.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them draws on Harry Potter's rich mythology to deliver a spinoff that dazzles with franchise-building magic all its own.
That's not even a critical consensus.
There are going to be four more of these, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's what that said. Uh-huh. That's it. This is a movie based on Harry Potter with effects.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's going to be four more of them, so I hope you like it.
Sometimes Rotten Tomatoes is helpful, and sometimes it is pure fucking garbage.
Get used to hearing about it, is basically what they said.
Yep, true.
And actually, you know what, too? They should put a disclaimer on that motherfucking shit. Warner Brothers owns Rotten Tomatoes. Warner Brothers produced Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
So think about that. Yeah. Think about that, America. You're being lied to. We're back with Crespo Wars. my new talking politics with Paul and Tolitics. That's Paul and I'm Tolitics, and we're talking politics
here. Okay.
Drew, the media infrastructure has taken over everything we consume, and they're feeding us lies on a regular basis. What are we going to do?
Well, you got two options, Chris.
Yes, yes. I'm politics, not Chris. Paul, did I call you Drew?
Damn it. you basically got two options.
Yes.
You can either live with it or you can burn it all to the ground.
Interesting. We'll be back next week with another edition of Talking Pod. We'll
with
be back.
With Paul and Politics.
With Paul and Politics. That's a tongue twister.
It is,
man. All right, well, there you go. Fantastic Beasts. Thanks, Trey. I appreciate it. Thanks for the review of that and kind of doing my job for me.
Yeah, no problem.
I didn't see that.
All the movies.
Yeah, so many movies, man.
Yeah.
And like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, only the Tom Hanks movie Inferno came out. And then like this week, fucking four goddamn movies came out plus the one at the end. And it's like, goddamn it. And then, of course, I got all this other shit. Like, there's life. There's also life, you know.
Yeah.
There's things that we got to do. Let's get into the new movies. New movies coming out on DVD. I don't have an intro. I was checking for an intro. I don't have one. New movies coming out on DVD. We'll do this real quick. Hell or High Water. Pretty cool. Like a modern Western type thing with, who was in that? Ben Foster. And
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
And
Captain Kirk.
And the dude.
And the dude, Jeff Bridges. Not interested, Trey. Trey's not interested. Lo and behold, Reveries of a Connected World.
I don't know any of these.
Werner Herzog talks about the internet.
Some of these are smaller movies.
Okay.
That's why we do the show, to let people know about these smaller movies that go through the cracks. Lo and Behold should be on Netflix, because I think they had a deal with Netflix a while ago. Mm-hmm. This is a movie, it's a documentary, like you said, about the internet, but done by filmmaker Werner Herzog, who doesn't use the internet. So it's like a 70-year-old filmmaker. He comes at it like the most inquisitive. He's like, "What is this thing? You know, explain it to me. What does it do? What does it do?
Is it alive? Is it conscious? Does it have thoughts of its own?"
He asks computer technicians if the internet dreams of itself, and then they're like, "Oh,
oh, they're like, shit! Hang on, we gotta think about this for a moment. About that.
Yeah. I don't want to see those dreams. I've seen the shit that's on the internet.
Yeah, that deep dream shit. Oh my god, that'd be some bad. It's like 8mm type stuff." But it's a good documentary. I definitely recommend checking out. War Dogs, speaking of that movie, Jonah Hill comes out. That one's okay. It's based on a true story. Kubo and the Two Strings, animated film.
I do want to see that.
It's a fucking fantastic movie. Stop motion animated.
Yeah.
It's got a really good story, some really cool action and designs and stuff. Totally, totally worth checking out, guys. Of all the movies that came out this weekend, that's the one.
When's it come out?
On Tuesday. On the DVDs and the Blu-rays.
I was like, I'll go home today and watch it.
No,
I can't.
Well, actually, you know what they do now? This is when it comes out on DVD.
You can probably get it streaming.
You can probably get it on Amazon or iTunes or something like that, because they usually put it out on digital streaming like a week or two ahead of time before the physical media comes out. You know?
I see if we can do that.
Drew's going to go ahead and check it out. And also coming out,
force my kids to watch it.
Yeah, you should. There will be no forcing. They'll be sucked into it. It is compelling. The movie starts with the line, "If you must blink, do it now." And when I saw that in the theater and started that on over a black screen, the kid saying, "If you must blink, do it now," I was like, "Oh shit!" Like this movie's not fucking around. It's got my attention.
Let me wet my eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. rub it. Yeah. Make sure I left the Visine at home. The old Clear Eyes. Drew's checking out and seeing if you can find
it. It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon for sure. If you want to go home,
got my son to watch Gumby the other day.
Oh really?
Serious?
How'd that hold up?
They were both like, "Ew, I don't want to watch this." And my daughter strolled off. She was like, "Forget this," and just left.
Like, fuck
this. And my son sat there, and then for a minute he started watching it, and he was just like,
"Oh,
into
it."
And I was like, "Awesome,
interesting.
I'm gonna let this ride." So he might like that.
That's cool. You gotta get him to that Mr. Rogers stuff.
It was it was kind of a brutal episode. Looking back, it was the the Bumble Zoo or something.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bee. I forget what they kept calling it, but they would open a cage and it would run and put everything in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode was about a zoo that didn't have a lion.
Okay.
So they used this bug to go out into the African jungle to catch these animals to bring them back to the zoo.
What?
No, that's kind of fucked up.
And then at the end, which kind of made it it kind of made me accept the episode a little more, is after all the animals, after all the animals got locked in the zoo, the bee got set loose and locked all the people up in front of the animals at the zoo.
What?
Yeah.
Revolution?
Yeah.
Animal revolution?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. That's some subversive shit.
Yeah, it is.
But accidental revolution.
Accidental revolution. That's I bet you that's a World War II allegory. It's like, we need to round up the animals.
Yeah.
The Jewish people.
The animals.
And the humans are rounding up the animals. The Nazis. Right.
Yeah.
But then the ringleader, he converts the bee.
Yeah.
Is not Jewish or Nazi.
Yeah.
Rounds up the Nazis.
Yeah. America.
America. America.
What?
America. There we go. America. Also, Mechanic Resurrection comes out on DVDs. There we go, guys. What's in theaters, Drew?
That new Disney movie, Moana, comes out with The Rock.
Oh, Moana, the Filipino? No, Philippines.
No, Hawaii.
Polynesian. Polynesian is the word that I'm looking for. The first Polynesian animated film from Disney, pretty much ever, I guess.
They'll have every nationality princess eventually.
Working on it.
Yeah, they will.
It's a long slog. The white people got a hell of a jump start there. So it's about 6-7 decade jump start on the white people representation.
17 princesses later.
Yeah. Hey, we got a black one. Good job, Disney.
And was she really a princess?
I know. Oh, the princess and a frog? Come on, guys.
She's a princess of a swamp.
Louisiana. That sucks. What the fuck?
Princess of Gumbo.
Oh my god, Disney. Can't not be racist. Just bring back the Jim Crows and get it over with.
Oh god. Yeah.
Just bring them back. Yeah, oh, the plugs from under the headphones. Sorry about that. I seen Elephant Five. I never seen Elephant Five. Anyway, fucking Jim Crow's racist as fuck. What's coming out?
Bad Santa 2.
Have you guys seen any commercials or trailers for Bad Santa 2?
I have.
Has it done anything for you? Like, no. They don't make me laugh.
I don't care.
They just want to bring back the fat kid. And
he's in it.
I know.
As a 21-year-old.
Yeah, that interests me a little bit. That's the only thing. Because of the awkward weirdness of it.
Like, they actually brought him back. It's strange. Like, do you remember how you were exploited when you were a kid?
Awesome. Yeah. Now we're going to exploit you as a 21-year-old.
Yeah, but now he's
in it, though. At least he knew how to make that money.
I guess so.
You know?
I hope he got paid. Yeah. I don't know. I love Christmas movies, too. I love them.
Yes.
I enjoyed the first Bad Santa very much. But it's also, it came out like 13 years ago.
Yeah. They wait too long now.
That's a long time.
I feel like they waited too long for Trolls. Yeah. They waited too long for Zoolander 2.
Trolls should have come out in the 80s.
Yeah. They waited too long for Zoolander 2, for sure. The Dumb and Dumber.
For sure.
All that
Anchorman
stuff.
Anchorman 2.
Yes. They waited way too long.
You got to jump right on that stuff. Yeah. You can't just let, oh man, for 10, like, yeah.
5 years is good enough.
That happened to Blues Brothers. That happened to Caddyshack. Almost a Teddy Shakes, but that's a bar.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
A bunch of bullshit. That's totally correct. I agree.
If you know you're going to do it, make it happen.
So yeah, fucked it up again with Bad Santa.
I worry about that with the Super Troopers, too.
As you should. Yeah. As you should. But at least those guys have been like working together the whole time and still doing comedy. Varying degrees of quality over the years. But, you know.
One of them was doing horror movies.
Was that Jay Chandrasekhar?
I think so.
Yeah. He's the one guy who's like the director.
He does. He's been doing. He did the Yogi Bear 2, I think.
No, he didn't.
I think so.
Good for him getting paid.
Yeah.
So you gotta get paid, man.
He might have did the first one. I'm not sure.
TJ Miller? Yeah. Getting paid. Hey, good for you.
That guy will do any voiceover.
No, the.
Well, TJ Miller was in it. He was the Power Ranger.
In the original.
God damn. He was
not even the Mucinex.
His face. He was the face of it. Anyway, I'm sorry. Let's go out of theater.
The new World War II movie.
Bad Santa 2 just made me so sad. Allied, the Robert Zemeckis, director of the Back to the Future movies and Forrest Gump and Castaway and Flight. Guy's a fantastic director. Brad Pitt. Marion Cotillard. It looks good. Have you seen any of this? I haven't seen anything on TV like commercials.
Just trailers in the theaters.
I don't know how much movie this money is going to make. That's what I was going to say. And I went through the sentence anyway.
It's probably going to make a lot of movie and maybe a little bit of money.
Anything else coming out?
No.
All right. It's time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Dr. Drew, take it away.
Well, Chris, I learned a lot of things this weekend on my failed vision quest, but the thing that I learned that was most important was to be prepared. You know, when you got flying 30-pound logs coming at your face, you know, make sure you got a first aid kit and somebody knows how to use it. So, Drewster out.
Hi-yo, good stuff there, guys.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Thank you, Scar.
Can I just say that's one of my favorite segments of your show?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about it? The brevity of it? It's over and done with.
The fact that the intro is longer than what he says?
Yes, always. Most of the time.
Always longer.
I try to do that every time.
What Drew says is pretty insightful most of the time.
It's always gold.
Uh-huh. And it's quick and in your face. I like it.
That's Drewster style, man. Exactly. That's listener feedback. Thank you very much, man.
Like, most of the time when I'm listening to you guys and it gets to that segment, and he says whatever it is, like the everybody needs to have enemies.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, Drew, you know.
That's why he's the doctor.
Yes.
He's got the prescription that you need.
He does.
Exactly.
Dr. Drew.
If you're not listening, you should be. Learn something.
Man, imagine if that vision quest went through with the kind of stuff you would have come back with. Exactly. It's been a while. What's the last vision quest you went on?
I mean, it's probably been a year.
That's it? Just a year?
Yeah. It's probably been a year.
I don't know, man. That must have been a weak one. You seem pretty similar. You haven't changed. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. I'm going to play a couple songs here. We're talking about Arrival, the sci-fi movie before. Here are the first 2 songs about the soundtrack because it's a pretty ominous, crazy, cool soundtrack. They tried to... what's the music that represents the sound of aliens arriving from outer space? You know, that's what they tried to pull off with the music. So,
okay.
And the guy who made it, his name is Johan Johansson. That's his name.
Johansson.
He is Johan, son of Johan.
Johan, son of Johan. Yeah, so there you go, guys. Check out the soundtrack. Good. That's good. It's good stuff.
It's good.
Listen on Spotify. It's good. I just went Russian for some reason. It's good. Eat the potatoes. Now they just went racist. A straight, nondescript racist. This is not a, the show's not a good look for me. I'm getting sexist and racist all in one fell swoop.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Let's get back. We'll do a break. Got some stuff here. We'll be back on the second half of the show. Got some good stuff. You guys ready? Need some more beers or only more beers?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's do this.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy Steezy coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
What the? Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome back to Cinema Crespo. So the second half, it is me with Drusy Cogburn, Drew.
What up?
And Trey and Swervy from the Swervy Jones Show.
Yeah.
We're having a good time.
Yeah, we are.
We got some fresh beers. We're chilling. And let's get the plugs out of the way. Guys, where can people find your show on interwebs?
SwervyJones.com. You can email us SwervyJones@gmail.com and TreySJS@gmail.com.
SJS?
Yeah, for Swervy Jones Show.
There you go. And it's SWERVEY.
Yeah, Swervey.
Swervey Jones. Swervey Jones.
Yeah. These guys must be French.
These guys, Drew, recently did the beer. Are they drinking a week or drinking a month? Drinking a week?
Drinking a week.
When it's a listener drink or suggested thing?
It's been going through some changes.
It's been in flux for a minute.
It's the drink of the unspecified time frame.
It's a drink of whatever Trey feels like doing it this particular week now.
Yeah,
and
it's,
now everyone
it's a little cumbersome at times, so like sometimes we like to take a break, but especially, we still talk about what we're doing.
Especially when you're doing a big-ass recipe. Yeah. You got all these different ingredients. Well, just recently you guys did, the sangria.
Yeah.
Which I thumbs up, highly approve of the sangria.
It was good.
Congrats. Get the applause. Polite applause for the sangria.
We should have made this a sangria Sunday, Chris.
Yeah. Just sangria Sunday, y'all, but then it would have been the rest of the Sunday would have been wasted. You had these guys sleeping in the living room.
Yep.
You
know? Along with us.
I'm sure their wives would love that. Like, what do you mean you can't come home?
Nope, I'm drunk.
Can't do it.
I'm a sangria Sunday, is it? Yeah, I really enjoy the drinking week side. I enjoy the show a lot. I listen to it comes out every Monday.
Thanks, man.
What are you up to? 150 something now?
Yeah.
158 is coming out Monday.
158 on Monday. Yeah. What can you tell us about 158?
We got our buddy Ron in.
Your buddy.
He was just last week for our show.
If you look at his Instagram, he is everyone's buddy.
Yeah. He knows everybody.
He knows everyone. The homie, Big Gay Ron, that guy's great. Yeah, he was just hanging out in studio last week with us. But he's actually on the show on mic with you guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool. He's a funny guy.
Oh, yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah.
A lot of sexual jokes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
It was fun.
Oh, man. I can't wait to listen to that. Awesome. And how about Twitter or stuff like that? You want to give out any of those things or
same thing? Swervy Jones, yeah. Trey SJS,
everywhere.
There you go, everywhere. Very easy. All right, good job, man.
On the Instagram, on the Twitter, Facebooks,
Snapchat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Who runs the Snapchat?
I got a Snapchat.
I let him. You know.
Yeah.
I told him he could use the Swervy Jones accounts to put things, and some of it's merged.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he does such wild stuff on his own. Like, let it do its thing.
Yeah,
you know?
True. I gave Drew access to the Crespo So Twitter account forever ago. I never used that one.
I probably use my own Twitter account.
Use his own Twitter.
But I forced him to attach his Instagram to the Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Lightly forced.
Yeah. Well, politely suggested. Yeah. Maybe I might want it for the better of the show. You know?
Yeah.
Which it'll be... Crespo crazy here in about 5 minutes.
Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah! As a matter of fact, I wanted to. Drew, why don't you do your plugs? Because I wanted to try to take a picture while you do all that.
My plugs? AntiHero419 all over the internet.
Do more plugs than that.
That's all I got, Chris.
Do more plugs than that.
I mean, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram,
I'm on the Snapchat,
I'm on Facebook, I'm on Elo. I think that's all the social media platforms that I use. That's all I got. Anti-hero.
33 selfies later.
At Antihero 419.
I think I got us all on frame.
What's your AOL address? Go back in time.
I don't have AOL anymore.
Oh, man. Mine was Space Monkey 321 because Fight Club had just come out. And I was like, fight the power, man.
This is how grabby I am and how long Swervy Jones has been a name is you can email me at swervyjones@aol.com.
Oh, nice. But will you answer, though? Will you answer?
Will you get
small chance? I did turn it off last year on my phone, but I could just a flip of the switch, pop it back on.
Swervy Jones at AOL.com.
Yeah. You can hit me up at BigDaddyT@CompuServe.com.
I'm a Big Sexy Surfer 6969 at Netscape.net. Remember Netscape, guys? That was a thing. All right, where are we going to start with? Start with the homeboy Billy D, New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He's got his own intro and it goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
You can hit up Billy D on Twitter at I Love Blood. Also on Instagram, I Love Blood. Everywhere. I Love Blood. It's all
he does love blood.
He does love blood. He's a crazy guy. Good guy. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dude?
What's up, Billy?
I've had another whirlwind week up here prepping for the holiday weekend. So many things to do before I go to D.C. to cook some Thanksgiving dinner.
D.C. Thanksgiving dinner?
Apparently.
D.C. Thanksgiving dinner?
All that aside, I made some time for what I believe to be an underrated road thriller from the early 2000s. All
right.
A movie that has pre-9/11 written all over it. The 2001 John Dahl classic... Joyride. R.I.P. Paul Walker.
Do you guys remember Joyride?
Yeah.
What was it? They pissed off a guy.
Trucker.
A trucker. Yeah. And then he chases them down.
Yep. Yeah, through a cornfield.
Yeah. not stereotypical at all. Like, oh, trucker rednecks. Anyway.
While I was watching Joyride, R.I.P. Paul Walker, I realized I never seen the follow-up films. With Joyride 3 available on Netflix, I decided to see if I could track down part 2 anywhere.
There's a 2 and a 3?
I could not.
I forgot to remember the first one. All right.
So I had to settle for Joyride 3 on Netflix.
So Billy D skipped Joyride 2 because he couldn't find it.
I must have missed a lot. All right,
Joyride 3, I'm going to write that down.
This movie is not very good.
No, what a surprise.
You can tell because it opens with some screamy, messy motel meth sex.
Oh, why does that? That sounds pretense.
Pro tip: if your script opens with screamy, messy motel meth sex, you are writing a bad script. That one is free. One of the reasons Joyride, Rip Paul Walker, is a classic in my book is the decision to never show the antagonist. Rusty Nail is just a menacing voice on the end of a CB radio, a force of nature. Close-ups of a hand tattoo, boots, trucker vest, and cap.
Mm.
That's all Joyride, R.I.P. Paul Walker, shows you.
True.
JR3 just shows the guy who isn't Ted Levine. Not even doing a Ted Levine impression.
Ted Levine was so good.
Talking a lot and just kind of showing up in places. There are some fun gore and kills, and they stay true to the psychotic nature of the Rusty Nail character, but they give a poor performance, too much screen time. Joyride 3 does excel in creating a group of protagonists that are all unique, have different functions and personalities.
Functions.
The other asshole guy that drinks too much beer and is jealous of the hero says a bunch of racisty, sexist shit right away, so you know he's definitely going to die a horrible death.
Nice.
If they would have given less time to not Ted Levine and given more to the helpless group of teens he's hunting, I'd have given this movie more of a chance. But Not Ted was so bad, I didn't care for it too much. It's funny, these guys did something different, and it wound up hurting them. If they'd have just stuck to copying the original, this would have worked better.
Huh.
You can watch two meth heads have messy motel sex and then get torn apart by a U-axle on Netflix. Stay cool, Billy D.
Thanks, Billy D. We appreciate it.
Yes, stick to the source material. Mm-hmm. That's what Servant always says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also not wait too long between sequels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also, how bad is Joyride 2 that he can't find it anywhere?
It's got to be awful.
Anyway, it's like you're hiding it. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Man. Rip Paul Walker, I guess, is the theme of the that
yes.
one, though.
Yeah, R.I.P. Paul Walker.
The guy was in a Porsche that drove into a tree. What a hell of a way to go out, considering, you know, Fast and Furious.
Joyride.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Joyride. Yeah, yeah, that was a hell of a Joyride. It's a flame ride at the end of the day. It's a barbecue.
Live by the car, die by the car.
Man, yeah, see, man. I don't want to... I'm fine with self-driving cars, and I don't need no...
Yeah.
I got to drive fast. Just let me get to from A to B safely. Of all the ways to die, fiery death in a car is not the way I want it.
You don't
want to
live your life a quarter mile at a time.
That's the worst way to live your life. Like, so am I buying gas a quarter mile at a time?
Yes.
They're on gas stations every quarter mile.
Well, a little thimble.
Yes. Jeez, especially with the nitro boost spots in. And they should, dude, I went past a quarter mile. I'm not prepared for this. I don't know what to... Monica!
Murder!
God damn it. All right, guys. Like I said, Billy D, hit him up on Twitter and all that. At I Love Blood. Actually, if you hit him up on the Instagram, you'll see he was there because he's up in New York City in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
For all the Trump protests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was out there and he likes taking the pictures and the things. So there's some pretty interesting pictures from the protests and signs. He has a pretty good eye for finding like the weirdos and the good angles and shit.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a good Instagram follow, I got to say, at I Love Blood.
Okay.
Just a very specific shout out there. You know, like, I also realized real quick, you know, I forgot to do the plugs for the show, our own show plugs.
Yeah.
I forgot to do that. Yeah. CinemaCrespinisso@gmail.com. Email us for the Vox Populi. Also, if you want free stickers, you guys are walking out of here.
Yeah.
I forgot mine
last time.
You did? You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Here, look at this. Look at these new stickers we got.
I forgot my prize last time.
Bill Cosby himself.
I had to get you to email it to me.
I mailed it to you.
Yeah.
It's a business card / sticker.
That is awesome.
You peel off that front part and slap it on something, and you'll be sure to walk out of here with more of
that. Part sweet.
It's going right on the beer fridge.
There you go. Exactly. That's where it belongs.
That's mm-hmm. where all of the Crespos are now. We put this one that you have on the mics.
Yeah, the original.
We stuck it right on Bill Cosby's face on the container.
Perfect. Because he doesn't care anymore.
I felt like it fit because you guys do that here in the studio, right? And there are a few of you where it's
your face on the character. There's mine as a Lego Superman up there on the Lego movie poster. Guys, that sound means... Choose the Cogman versus the world.
Choose the Cogman versus the world!
Here we go. This is a special one, though. Because you got two gentlemen in here as guests.
Yeah.
So, Drew, you got to sit out the first round. Because let's see who gets to play, Drew.
So is this like Beat Bobby Flay?
This is like Beat Bobby Flay. Trey and Swerve, you guys got to go head to head.
Okay.
In a movie trivia contest.
Round one, fight.
Exactly. I got 10 questions.
Okay.
I'll buzz in by saying your name.
Okay.
And then if you get it wrong, then, you know, the other person gets to hear the question again and they get their guess. All right, so you get one guess per question.
Okay.
And Drew, I kind of might need you to help me to say who gets it first.
Okay.
Because these questions are designed to be pretty easy. Pretty easy, I think. Here we go. I mean, I did a Google search.
I feel like Trey is going to dominate because he's competitive and likes to know that he's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I always tell him he's wrong.
Well, that's why I'm putting you guys head to head so the stronger one can come out on top and
knock me down
and go on up and answer the cock over here.
Right, you're welcome.
Here we go, guys. Number one, say your name to buzz in. Number one, which two actors co-wrote Good Will Hunting?
Swervy. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
That is correct.
Matt Damon.
Number two, who played Jack in Titanic?
Swervy. Leonardo DiCaprio.
That is correct. Number three, in the 1990 Richard Gere movie, who played the pretty woman?
Trey. Oh my god. It flew out of my head as soon as I said
Trey. The pressure's on.
Fuck it. Julia Roberts.
That's correct. Yes. That's correct. Number four. Whose name appears with Dracula in the 1992 movie?
Trey. Dolomite.
No!
No, wait, that's Blackula.
That's Blackula. That's in the 70s. I'll give you a question one more time. Whose name appears with Dracula in the title for the 1992 movie?
I want to say Keanu Reeves.
No, I'm sorry.
That's wrong.
Bram Stoker. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Rammstein?
Rammstein. Rammstein's Bram Stoker's Dracula. Do bite. There's a cover of Du Hast by this band called Thy Art Is Murder, and they did like a straight up like super metal version of Du Hast, and it sounds ridiculous. This is over 90s. Number five. Swervy's up 2-1 so far. Number five. In which film did Jodie Foster play FBI agent Clarice Starling?
Swervy. Silence of the Lambs?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Number six. Who or what is Gromit? Almost loves it. Who or what is Gromit? Trey shaking his head. No, doesn't even want to take a guess. No,
what kind of little down. Rubber thing that holds the screws?
That is what a Gromit is, but that's not what I'm looking for. No, guys.
Drewster Cogburn.
He's an animated dog that hangs out with Wallace.
Yeah, Wallace and Gromit. That is
I wanted
correct.
To say Cookie Bread, but I felt like that was way wrong.
Cookie Bread. Oh my goodness, number seven.
I want it in my mouth.
That's how you get talking to a dick circle. You know? Number seven, Anthony Perkins played Norman Bates in what movie?
It's an old ass movie.
Drew knows old ass movie.
Yeah, I don't think I know that one.
No? No. Swervy's a no. Trey? Not even a guess? Three?
No.
Two?
Just a couple.
One? Just a guy. We're in
Psycho.
Psycho's correct. Number eight. Swerve, you're still up 3-1. Trey, you can still tie. Actually, Trey, you can still win. Number eight. Who won Best Actor 2 years in a row with roles in Philadelphia and Forrest Gump?
Trey.
Tom Hanks. That is correct. Number 9, in the musical's title, where was the fiddler?
Trey. On the roof.
That is correct. You're tied up. Number 10. For the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, who went to number 1 with Night Fever?
Trey.
Bee Gees. That is correct. Trey comes from behind and wins.
God damn it.
I let you think that you were going to win, buddy.
We're cleaning up there at the end. Congratulations, Trey. That means you get to go head-to-head against Drew Zakogman.
I know. I'm going to fail miserably.
Well, Drew Zakogman's reeling. He's 14-12 so far this year. Yep. Lost last week to Cool Carl Verna, the Video Burner.
And lost the week before that to Baby Lag.
So here we go. We'll make it 3 in a row. Trey, you get to go first. This week's game is called Not My... Actually, I'll take that back. This week's game is called Hashtag Not My Batman. I'm going to tell you the movie title.
Okay.
You tell me which actor was in this movie. Your choices are Val Kilmer, George Clooney, and Michael Keaton.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you the movie's title.
Man.
Your choices are
Val. I'm going to fail miserably. I should have let you win.
Val Kilmer.
Oh, thanks.
I should have let you win. Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Michael Keaton. I have 2 groups of 5. A or B. What do you want first? A or B. You got to choose. A or B.
I'm going to go B.
You're going to go B. All right. Who is in this movie? Number 1, Willow.
Val Kilmer.
That's correct. Number 2, The Other Guys.
Clooney.
Ooh, incorrect. Michael Keaton. Number 3, The Peacemaker.
Clooney.
That is correct. Number 4, Wonderland.
Keaton.
Ooh, it's Val Kilmer when he played John Holmes. Shit. And finally, number 5, One Good Cop.
Keaton.
That's correct. You got 3 out of 5. Not bad. Drew, you ready?
Yep.
Number 1, Three Kings.
Clooney.
Correct. Number 2, Gung Ho.
Kilmer?
Ooh, Keaton. Keaton. Number 3, True Romance.
Keaton.
Ooh, Kilmer.
Damn it.
He was Elvis. Number 4, One Fine Day.
Clooney.
That's correct. Number 5, Need for Speed. It's making face.
Keaton.
Keaton is correct. That's 3 out of 5. You guys tied. Tiebreaker time. Oh my god, it's going down to the tiebreaker. This is so exciting. Here we go. You guys got a piece of paper each. You got a piece of paper. Is there a pen over there? There's a pen. We're doing closest to the pin, guys. Closest to the pin for the tiebreaker. I need a number. You better hide it.
He's like, hey.
How many movies has George Clooney directed? Closest to the pin. You're allowed to go over. It's fine. This isn't Price is Right rules.
That is a good question.
That is a good question. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I like the positive reinforcement in the middle of the show. It makes me feel good about what I'm doing. Both answers are in. I appreciate it. Here we go.
Hashtag pro athlete.
Drew Zakogman says George Clooney directed 5 movies. Trey says he directed 7 movies. So close, guys. The correct answer is 5.
Say 6.
Ah. Drewster got it right on the nose, Drewster. Well done.
Who won last time? Was it me or Drew?
Ooh, I can't remember.
I'm going to have to go back and listen, because I think I won last time. That ties it up 1-1.
I can tell you. The last
I told
time,
you. He was good competitive. Sir.
Last time was episode 172, if people want to check that out.
You refused to lose in any games you've done.
Right.
5 movies. He directed The Monuments Men, Leatherheads, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, The Ides of March, and Good Night and Good Luck.
See, I could remember 3 of them, and I figured he must have directed at least 2 more.
At least 2 more.
I don't think I've seen any of those movies.
Not a single one
Not
of them.
Not a single one.
Good Night and Good Luck's probably the best one of all of them.
Definitely.
There. The journalism one there. Okay, guys, let's get into. We did the Billy D's. That was awesome. Now it's time for the Vox Populi. It's a segment of the people.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
Drew Zakogman, take it away.
We got an email from our boy Gabe.
What's up, Gabe? Gabe was just at the Bad of Beer Fest. Bad at Business Beer Fest, not the Bad at Beer Fest, the Good at Beer. Yeah. Bad at business beer fest.
Well, some of them were bad at beer.
Were they still bad at beer? I guess you get that many breweries there in August. Yeah. Any of them stick out? I was like, ah, that wasn't a winner. Can you think of a particular flavor or something? Or?
I'd rather not
was
say
there like a, right. Was there like a...
I'll still take their monies if they want to sponsor the podcast. Oh.
You're upfront about the lack of integrity on the show. I like it. I like it very much.
I plead the fifth.
Well, the homie was out there and he was wearing our Cinema Crust Bonito, so sure, we appreciate that, man. All right, Drew Chicago, go ahead.
Yeah, he said... name of the email is forgot to email last week. Time to Scott it up.
He's going to Scott it up.
He's going to Scott it up. So apparently this one might be a little bit long.
It's going to be a long email. Settle in, guys. Here we go.
He's got a bunch of movie reviews. We're going to start with Imperium.
Imperium. Here we go.
Eerie watching in post-election, but a timely watch. This movie is good. Radcliffe has chops, and the movie is set well with many tense moments where his true identity is questioned. Good double feature with Green Room. Nazi punks, fuck you!
Green Room is awesome. Have you guys seen that movie? There's a poster right behind it. They're recreating the Clash London Calling with the machete.
No, mm-hmm. I have not.
That movie is fun. It's intense. It is intense, but it's so worth it. Patrick Stewart's a bad guy.
Okay.
Love it. Watch it.
All right.
It's on, I think it's on Amazon.
Homeworks.
Mm-hmm. Is Homework fun?
Sometimes.
Because that movie's fun.
It depends on what the homework is.
That's true. You know? That's true. You sign yourself
home. I do homework on animations all the time. Animation. Enjoy fun. It.
That's true. You know? Fair enough.
Yeah.
I withdraw.
He's got a Mr. Church review.
Technically, watching movies is homework, right?
No, I
can't be sometimes.
Also, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes? Some of them are a fucking chore, that's for sure. Yeah. Mr. Church, Mr. the Eddie Church. Murphy movie from the director of Driving Miss Daisy, where instead of this time a black driver driving around a white woman, it's a black cook cooking for a white woman.
I wanted to see
this is a 2016 movie, guys.
I wanted to see if Eddie could still act. It starts off like Sandlot, but morphs into Boyhood.
Boyhood?
Emotional, but has some clunky tropes/plot twists. It's a beautiful and sad story of caregiving, loss, and family. I resonated with some aspects of the movie.
Okay.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. Gives it an okay. Alright, so no one announcing no one Mr. Church.
Star Trek Beyond.
Star Trek Beyond, here we go. We're just talking about that. Let's hear it.
The editing is incredible and the practical makeup is great. Also classic throwback music. I like how the team is fractured and then off the ship. What's up with this Matrix copy? I will agree with the feelings episodic, but it's a solid watch.
Solid watch. Yeah. Drew wasn't the biggest fan of Star Trek Beyond. Plus, you felt it was like kind of like just an episode of the TV show.
Yeah.
I like Star Trek Beyond because I felt like it was an episode of the TV show.
Yeah.
You know, it's that type of deal. Yep.
It's all about the inflection.
Yeah. It is. Emphasis is important. You said you're a fan of all the new Star Trek ones. How would you rank them?
As in like the best to worst? Or?
Best to worst. Star Trek Beyond, Star Trek Into Darkness, and then that very first one, Star Trek, that came out back in 2009, 2010.
I like the first and the second one, and I don't have much to say about the third one because I fell asleep.
That's right. Drew's actually, you like the first one and the second one more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The third one, did you see all three of them?
I saw two of them.
You haven't seen the newest one?
No, not yet.
I think it's all right. I like it. But Drew's not that big.
I have a feeling.
And he fell asleep, so I don't know. It's actually leaning more towards, like, don't watch it.
I feel like
from what I saw, it was good.
I feel like it'll be one of those 1-2-3s is the exact same way you feel about it.
Sure, that's what trilogy is all about.
But I'm also not really a Trekkie or a Star Wars person to begin with.
But apparently, if you had a choice between the two, you would go.
Right now, it'd be Star Trek.
Where does Stargate fall into all that?
Nobody cares about Stargate.
No. No. It only exists to make jokes about
portals.
Portal gates.
And vaginas.
The first 30 minutes of the movie dealing with the portal was awesome, and then
it was really lame.
And then they got to the other world, and it was like Egyptian aliens. Yep. Back to the reviews, the emails.
He's got a Doctor Strange review.
Doctor Strange, hear what the game has to say.
First, what's up with the new Marvel logo intro?
I liked it.
Preening much? I like the comic strip better.
Damn.
Truly magical. Love the dynamic of astral projection. Inception on LSD. Mm-hmm. The special effects are amazing. 3D delivered. Spoiler alert. Drewster called it. Solid watch. Can't wait for more of the cape.
Yeah, the cape was weird how they gave the cape personality.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like trying to get him to do stuff. And I was not expecting that at all when that happened.
No. Oh, it's his own thing, I guess.
It's like it's like a living thing.
Yeah.
I thought it would just be like a cape with magic in it, but
yeah,
it's like
nope.
It's like the magic carpet in Aladdin.
Exactly.
It like points to stuff and when it's tough. Oh my god. I got that. I got the we got the emulator, the video game emulator over here, and it's got like, I don't know, a couple hundred Sega Genesis games. It's got the Aladdin on there. Mm-hmm. Man, that game is hard as fuck, bro.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Games used to be so fucking hard back in the day.
You might think it's hard. I played that game, nothing but that game, for like a couple months because it's the only game I had for a while.
Well, when it's the only game you have.
I got really good at it.
Yeah, well, that's the only game you have. Yeah. There's a level where you're on the magic carpet. The lava's going by and you're like,
yep,
trying to get away.
Yeah.
The lava's going to get
you. Did you ever do the Disney Quest flying carpet?
I would say that's one of the toughest
simulator
games from the old days.
The what one?
Aladdin.
Aladdin's tough,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was a tough game.
Yeah, Disney Quest, what?
A Disney Quest.
Yeah, I
they
remember
had
Disney
an
Quest.
Aladdin virtual reality flying carpet, oh, where you put on the mask and you like move the carpet. And
oh,
shit,
with the
and,
mask
and fly. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I did the one thing there where you got on a like a boat, like a raft. It was a fake raft, and then there's a screen, and then it's supposed to feel like you're doing water rafting. And now and then they sort of very lightly spritz you with a little bit of water. And maybe the water machines are empty.
And then
know,
you walk away with spinal damage because it.
The place is shut down, so it wasn't that great of an experience. Shout out to Disney.
He's got a Hacksaw Ridge review.
Here we go, Hacksaw Ridge. Mel Gibson's newest movie about a World War II story, true life story. It's an intense movie too. What's he got to say?
The Amazing Spider-Man was totally believable. I love Agent Smith's performance. Does Kristen Stewart have a sister? Does Ewan McGregor have a brother? I like how it was split into two parts. A movie about a man's conviction in the face of disaster. Once the shooting starts, it's relentless. Mm-hmm. I don't like Vince Vaughn in this. Humorous enough for the boot camp, but it doesn't work. Also, Mel Gibson will dollop some Christian symbolism on you, so there's that. Well made and okay enough.
Okay enough, so not the biggest fan, it sounds like.
Nope.
Maybe a little offended by the overt Christianity in the movie. Perchance. Mel Gibson's very very heavy into the Catholicism in the faith.
Yeah.
And his movies are leaning on that very, very heavily sometimes. Apocalypto and obviously Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. But, ew, Catholics.
I don't know, man. If you're going to base Catholics on him, it's like, or on their history, maybe?
At all,
On their track record?
Anything that has to do with Catholicism, period.
I'll say it again.
Pretty awful.
Ew, Catholics.
And he's got an Arrival review.
Arrival, which we've been talking about a few times right now.
However, Catholic ladies. Hiya.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up? Pulling the stockings up.
What are we looking for there? Like nuns? What are we looking for? Like a Catholic lady.
I think you think maybe
I'll tell you what. None of your business.
None of your business. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just don't check the Google searches.
I realize now I love Dennis Villanueva.
Searching nuns with guns.
I love Enemy and Sicario, and this one is fantastic. Leaves one wanting to watch it again, like Enemy, to figure out the meaning. Definitely 2001 inspired. Great performances all around. I think there's a message of following your intuition and having faith when others doubt. Great surprise for the fall.
It's a good movie. It's solid. It's well done. It's very smart. If that's the type of sci-fi you're into, we definitely can recommend it.
Correct.
So that's it. That's all his reviews.
That's everything.
A lot of quick reviews. Thanks a lot, Gabe. We appreciate it. And that's all for the Vox Populi there.
That's it. That's all right. We got.
That means it's time for the movie news segment. And I actually put together something for that.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean
getaway.
Opens
up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
Yeah, guys, Chris, here we go. Chris. Movie news time. We're talking about what matters. Whose beach bods are hot?
Chris.
Who's dating who?
Chris.
Who's fucking who?
I just want to know what's going on with the Biebs.
What's going on with the Biebs? Our weekly update. What's going on with the Biebs? Swervy, what's going on with the Biebs?
I have no idea.
Trey, what's going on with the Biebs?
He's fucking Selena Gomez again.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go. That's what's going on with the Biebs.
We got the answer. Thank you, Trey. We appreciate it. Shut that music off. Yeah. movie news, guys. Here we go. I got a couple stories here. Mortal Kombat. You guys ready for the new Mortal Kombat movie?
That's another one?
Yeah, there's another one. We're doing it again.
Can we bring the Dancing Baby back, too?
the Ally McBeal Dancing Baby. Babalities.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the Babalities.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they'll bring back Babalities. And what was the one when instead of them dying, they had like flowers or rainbows and stuff?
We called it a friendship.
Friendship-ality or something?
Friendship,
just a friendship.
Just a friendship. And just like, didn't like Scorpio just be like, flowers.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe that'll happen in this new movie. this one, the new one, is being produced by James Wan. James Wan got a start in Hollywood with the first Saw movie, and he produced all of those, and he's been producing horror movies, but then he did the last Fast and the Furious, so he's starting to get into like the big budget stuff. He also did... what's he working on now? That escaped me. Anyway, he's producing this.
How many Saw movies did they make?
Seven.
Ooh.
And they have another one coming out next year, like a reboot type of thing. Saw Legacy or some bullshit.
Resurrection.
Yeah, and the last one was called Saw the Final Chapter. And then the next one's like Saw, we're back
at it again. The next chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, oh my God, go fuck yourselves, guys.
Way back in the beginning.
now in the middle. Mortal Kombat is for they're making it for New Line. James Wan is producing. A guy who's got to start making commercials is making his first feature film adaptation with this thing.
I feel like they haven't done a Mortal Kombat movie right yet.
No,
yeah,
no right? Definitely not. So. They've tried twice.
Yeah,
in 1992 and 1995.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat, 95 was the when the first one came out. The game came out in 92, movie came out in 95, the second movie 97. Mortal Kombat, anyone?
No, you're right. Mortal Kombat,
Annihilation?
Annihilation.
Annihilation.
Yeah.
Get over here!
It's the Mortal Kombat, Annihilation. That's what it is. That perfectly describes me.
Yes, it does.
So, it's a porno. All right.
Oh, great. Why can't they make any movies that of my childhood that are any good? No good G.I. Joe, no good Street Fighter, no good...
Nope.
No. Freaking Mortal
Transformers
Kombat.
Is terrible. Yeah. They're making a Hot Wheels movie. That's surely to be bad. They're trying to redo He-Man.
I will say, exception to the rule, Lego movie.
Lego movie is so
amazing.
Dope. Lego movie is so dope.
It is so good.
But yeah, you're right. That's the exception.
That's that Lord Miller brand.
I applauded that movie when it was over.
Yeah, right? It's like, how did
like, when it actually, first time watching it, I stood up and clapped. Like, I was like, this is so good.
How is this so good?
It's spawned.
It should have been crass and bullshit, but it's like,
it's fantastic.
The Lego Batman movie is going to be so funny.
The Lego Batman movie come out. Yeah. Fucking the best Batman.
Somehow Will Arnett could possibly be the second best Batman of all time.
It could be. Second best could be behind Adam West.
Who would be your first?
Adam West?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
I'm a fan.
He likes Batman and talks like this.
I like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
prefer them.
I like the Michael Keaton whisper. Yeah. He just whispers everything.
As opposed to what Val Kilmer and George Clooney who just talk like
they just spoke
George,
himself. Yeah,
George Clooney and his rubber nips.
Rubber nips. It's like,
that was Joel Schumacher.
Hey, freeze, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
It was like, no, you're George Clooney. You're not even trying. Not even trying.
I still like, and I feel this way, that the Batman Michael Keaton movies. Was it Tim Burton?
Yeah, Tim Burton. Yeah. The first two. Batman
the
Returns.
The better of all the Batman movies, in my opinion.
My favorite one.
Not saying it is.
My favorite ones of all the Batmans would be The Dark Knight, because it's pretty much the movie Heat, but with costumes.
Yeah.
And my second favorite is Batman Returns, which is not even a Batman movie.
Nope. That's a Tim Burton movie with Batman characters.
Yeah, it's a Tim Burton movie featuring the Penguin and Catwoman and Chris Walken. That's another villain.
Because
they didn't have enough villains, so they had to add Chris Walken.
Batman. That movie is more about the villains than it is about Batman.
Batman shows up every now and then to like throw a grenade down some guy's pants and push him through a doorway and watch him explode. And then people are like, Batman doesn't kill.
I did enjoy it, though.
It's a fun movie.
It was a fun movie.
It's also a Christmas movie, and I love Christmas movies. So the fact that it's a Batman movie with Chris Walken and it takes place during Christmas, I mean, I'm in. I love it.
If Keaton was just taller and more broad, it would have been better.
I want to see the lifts on those shoes, on those bat shoes.
Right? Raise them up.
Keaton's like 5'6". You know?
It's like Tom Cruise being Batman.
Right.
I can't believe I missed the Will Ferrell reference in the Michael Keaton in the showdown. I'm killing myself right now.
What, the other guys?
Yeah. Huge Will Ferrell fan. I should have got that one.
He was great in that, too. All Michael Keaton's dialogue was, what's her name? Don't go chasing waterfalls. TLC lyrics, TLC song titles, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Sometimes you got to creep.
And they're like, you're doing it again. What are you talking about? It's a good movie.
Great.
That's a good movie, man. Underrated, I think. Deadpool. You guys see the Deadpool?
Yes.
Yes.
Fans?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you guys seen John Wick?
No.
Oh,
I've been. Okay. It's on. Okay. When I can get to it, it's on my list because of what you guys have said about it.
And also, think of this. Thank you. I appreciate that. But think of this also. Steve Etchy, mutual friend of all of us from Radio. What's the Fuss and Tidbits? We told him about John Wick. He's like, I don't know. He was very hesitant. Not a Keanu Reeves fan.
Yeah.
And then he left me a drunken voicemail like 2 weeks later, like, I'm watching the John Wick bonus features. I've just watched the movie four times. This movie's amazing. Well, it's all trying to tell you, man. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's like just a great, solid, straight-up action movie with great, well-done action, very simple setup. It makes sense. And
he is an action movie guy.
And it does it really well.
He did well in The Matrix.
He did do well with Matrix, absolutely. That's why there's some of that kung fu in there.
Whoa.
The stunt team that he put together for The Matrix, those are like all his boys, right? By the time he did The Matrix, he was already rich.
Yeah.
He took his Matrix salary and he split it up. All the money he made, he gave it to all his stunt guys.
Okay.
Because he's like, if it wasn't for these dudes, I would be I'm a bunch of bullshit. These guys make me look awesome. So he gave his money to them, and because it is rad. But then they became fiercely loyal to him. So anytime he makes a movie, he has like this whole stunt team with him. Part of that crew is the people that end up doing the John Wick movies. Yeah, Keanu Reeves. He's got a whole crew of people with him.
See, we think he's dumb, but he's smart.
I feel like it's not hard to find a guy that looks like Keanu Reeves, though.
Yeah, he's sneaky smart. He does a lot of like internal acting, so it's like he's not a big flashy dude. He's not Daniel Day-Lewis. You know, the flashes he gets when he throws in some kung fu in there, and he's like, or he raises his voice a little bit. But the John Wick directors are like stunt guys, and they're dudes that came from his team, and there's two of them. The reason I ask you about Deadpool, the director from Deadpool left. He's not doing the second movie.
Yeah, I know about that, yeah.
So,
that's scary.
Also, for John Wick 2...
Not necessarily.
Especially with this. John Wick 2, the first movie had two directors.
Okay.
One of those guys is coming back to direct the second movie. The second guy was looking for something else to do. He found it, officially hired to be the director of Deadpool 2. So, one half of the John Wick team is behind Deadpool. I'm telling you guys now...
It's going to be good.
I think, as a matter of fact, no offense to the fellow who directed the first one, Tim Miller. That was his first movie because he comes from the animation world.
Yeah.
Not like video game stuff.
Yeah.
He did a good job, but it wasn't like that dynamic, you know? It's pretty standard stuff. I feel like someone with a little more style, more technique, and more experience could really elevate Deadpool even more into something fucking crazy good.
And it was... A lot of the shots were
video game, because that's his background.
Like when the car pulls up and he gets out with the Hello Kitty bag and stuff.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
It's it has that feel.
Like a cutscene in a game or something. Yeah, totally.
Like somebody's going to come pick you up and then take you to the next gameplay.
Which is his background. And I get it. There's definitely parallel there to the visual literacy of all that bullshit.
There was enough goodness in it that you looked past some of the weird stuff.
100%. I'm telling you guys now, check out John Wick.
Okay.
And then get excited for Deadpool 2.
Is it available on anything?
It was on HBO On Demand for a while.
Okay.
It was.
Worst case, probably on the Amazon
Prime. Yeah, for sure. It's out there for watching.
It's available to buy.
Yes. Definitely to buy. Yeah. It's the type of movie where it did okay at the box office.
Quick trip to the Walmart, you're good to go.
At the Walmart, for sure. Damn, I was at the Walmart today, and some dude was like yelling at his mom. He's like, come on, let's go. And she was like, I'm coming. And she was on a rascal. It was so sad. I hate going to Walmart. I don't even know why I was
Walmart.
There. Yeah. I had stuff in my hands. I just put it down and walk out of the store. Like, fuck this place.
I get angered in there.
As you should. It's a terrible, horrible place. So why do we step in there to begin with? Because we want deals.
Low prices.
Justice League movie coming out next year, 2017. Confirmed, they will be reintroducing Green Lantern. The whole Green Lantern thing. The Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern gone. Kaput. You ever see that one?
I give it as John Stewart.
I was told not to.
Oh, it might be John Stewart. Actually, there's two, right? There might be both Green Lanterns.
Well, there's a lot of Green Lanterns.
And you were told not to see it?
Yeah.
That was good. That was smart.
Yeah, it was
very good. Yeah,
bad enough to where Ryan Reynolds made fun of it in Deadpool. So.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's how you know. I think they may be going with... John Stewart's the Black Green Lantern, right? I think they may be doing a dual thing where there'll be John Stewart and another one because they want to do a Green Lantern movie like around 2020. So they're going to introduce one of them, but it may not
be... Kyle something, I think is his name.
God, I don't know enough about him, but not Hal Jordan because they already burned that one off with Ryan Reynolds. So they're going to have to come back around to that one somehow.
The Hal Jordan in the comics is good.
Yeah,
and Ryan Reynolds could have been good at that part.
Hal Jordan is like what I think of when I think of Green Lantern.
The John Stewart Green Lantern is kind of starting to trump Hal Jordan, though.
Well, because it's a little more fresh, a little more recent, right?
Yeah.
The newer one. So we'll get some Justice League stuff coming up here pretty soon. We'll see how that works out for DC. Finally, I have this thing, like when the Cubs were in the World Series, right? Mm-hmm. All throughout the playoffs, and the Cubs were in the playoffs, I wanted them to lose so bad. Mm-hmm. And it was because everyone was like, oh, this is so exciting, the Cubs, they haven't won in so long. And I wanted to see them lose and see all these people be disappointed because I have this great deal with Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude, where you take joy in the misery of others.
Yeah.
And when other people are greatly disappointed, like, oh, it feels so good. Like, I love it. It translates well to sporting events. It's like, I like when, like, a championship, like NBA, right? You have home and away games.
Yeah.
I like when the away team wins the championship at the other team's arena.
Yeah.
So there's like 28,000 people and they're like, oh. And the other team's celebrating, just like they get their confetti and they're celebrating and they're surrounded by people that are like, oh.
How dare you, sir? That causes riots. People die.
When it comes to sports, people die when the team wins and the home team wins. Yeah, so
it goes both ways.
And mostly in Brazil.
And no matter how you look at it, somebody's dying.
Also, when it's sports, it's not a riot, it's a celebration. But when it's for your civil rights, it's a riot. So there you go. Keep that in mind. That's your we're talking politics with Tom. Damn it.
Politics.
Goddamn tongue twisters. Cracked open his hopsecutioner.
You came up with this tongue twister.
I did come up with it too. We're still waiting for the logo. But I get great joy in watching things fall apart over time, or something that they keep trying to make it and it keeps failing. I'm like, it's what you get for fucking the Sisyphean task of bullshit you're trying to do. So here's this one that gave me joy this week. Right. For years now, they've been trying to reboot The Crow.
Yes.
Yeah.
For years.
Don't do it.
They came so close recently. Jason Momoa was cast as the Crow. Big ass Jason Momoa, Aquaman, and the DC movies and all that. He was cast. They were going to start shooting in January. They had a director. Relativity was going to do it, Relativity Media. And they lost the rights. They didn't get production started fast enough.
Ooh.
And the rights have reverted back to another rights holder.
Well, he does look good in eye makeup, so.
He does. He's got a lot of eye makeup on in Aquaman. Did you see a picture of him dressed as Aquaman playing the guitar?
No,
there's a picture of him as Aquaman, but he's holding a guitar. I hope it's in the movie. I hope he plays guitar at some point in the movie, or underwater.
But he is hanging out at like a local bar.
Yeah, he's like, I think he's just bringing him fish or something, though. Isn't
he? He's like bringing him food and stuff.
and then he rips out the guitar. And it's like,
which is mildly hypocritical for Aquaman. He's supposed to protect the fish.
Yeah, he's traitoring them. He's supposed to grab some humans and bring them back to the ocean to feed to the whales.
Yes.
You don't know those fish. Maybe those fish were dickheads.
He said,
it's like fish jail, fish executions.
Yeah.
Like, so, you guys have broke the natural order of the fish laws.
So the realm of Aquaman is very Hitlerist.
He is a king.
I didn't
say
that.
He's a king. It's a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Very Trump-like.
Don't you dare play that crowd support.
It could be more of a monarchy.
And you know what? It may not be Aquaman's fault. He probably doesn't know what's going on. He just appointed like a super anti-fish attorney general who's now overseeing all
the
fish.
He's raged war with all the fish.
Yeah, and he's like, fuck these fish. Get them out of here, the plastic eaters.
They're no dolphins.
The dolphins. They're even worse.
It looks like he's just...
He's so anti-mammalian.
It looks like he's just in a metal band.
Is that the same? Yeah, it does.
He looks like he's in a metal band.
Just without a metal guitar.
He's doing Viking metal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to play like some Blues Traveler or something.
I'm fucking blowing a harmonica.
Check me out, it's an Aquaman.
So The Crow's not happening again, so take that, you fucking idiots for trying to make The Crow. That was your movie news. That brings us to the end of the show, which means lightning round time.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Guys, I have 10 questions, and there's two of you. And where's my pen? There's my pen. Here we go. There's two of you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and forth.
Okay.
So you're going to get 5 each. Swervy, do you want to go first or you want to go second?
Ramshambo, ready?
Your name's on the show. Go first.
All right. Swervy tried to give you a shot. I appreciate that. All right, I'm going to go back and forth. Here we go. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Swervy, why do aliens abduct humans?
Because we're stallions. We're delicious.
All right, Trey. How do you know when you have run out of invisible ink?
When you start writing regular ink.
No. Swervy, why do kamikazes wear helmets?
To protect their brains.
Trey, why isn't there... why isn't there mouse-flavored cat food?
Because the mice are going to eat the cat food at that point.
The mice are going to eat the cat food?
Yes.
Cannibal mice?
Yes, they're all cannibals.
Okay, number 5. Swervy.
Of course.
Why? Of course. Duh. Swervy, number 5. Why is the word dictionary in the dictionary?
Because... dicks.
Circle of dicks. Number six, Trey. When you are driving and looking for an address, do you turn down the radio?
Turn down the radio?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
Okay, good for you.
Turn it up.
Number seven, Swervy.
Turn down for what?
Turn down for what?
Yeah.
Number seven, why do bars have parking lots if you can't drink and drive?
Good question.
Thank you. Trey, number eight. If I save time, how do I get it back?
Time machine.
Time machine. Number nine, Swervy. Why do you need an appointment to see a psychic?
Because I gotta make them money.
Gotta make them money. It's finally, Trey, number 10, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, or the Trix Rabbit. Who do you kick out of bed?
Trix Rabbit.
Trix Rabbit out of that bed. Get out of here.
He's a pedophile because tricks are for kids.
Tricks are for kids, bro.
Oh, you know what? Thank you. I didn't even think about that. They're good. And guys, as you are
some
here,
kids are into that.
As you are here as one, we're doing the swag baggery as one. So, two bags here, but the both of you got to decide which one of these bags you want to possibly go home with and split the contents of.
I like the blues.
The blue bag. Okay. Yeah. All right. Break out the blue bag,
all
Drew.
The frillies on it. All the spinny rounds. All
right. You may get to go home with Puzzle Bug 100 pieces. It's bunnies wearing sunglasses.
Oh. 100 piece puzzle of bunnies wearing sunglasses.
18 red party cups. They are super tiny, so they're
we use those.
They're,
we do
they're
use
like
those.
Shot glasses.
There you go. There you go. You can actually use them.
A small can of Pringles cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese Pringles.
I need those on the way home.
We have a Cinema Crispies bootleg edition of the Pelican Brief and Wild Wild West.
There you go.
I hate when I get Pelicans in my briefs.
And stickers. A whole bunch of stickers in there. Guys, all the stuff can be yours, and you can divide it up as you see fit between the two of you, or we put the bag away, and you take home what's in the box that Drewster Cogburn has right over here.
I like the odds of the box so far.
You like box odds? You like the box odds?
Yeah.
Remember, again, this is for it, both of you.
Well, it's close to Christmas.
We've had Bill Cosby tape and free fries.
French fries. So it's been bad. It's got to be good this time.
Yeah, McDonald's fries? Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, not McDonald's fries. A Monopoly sticker.
It's a Monopoly sticker. Oh. Yeah, you gotta redeem that shit yourself, man.
I want to take the dive. I want to dive all the way down.
All the way down that hole. So are we going box?
We're going to the box.
We're going to the box. All right, here we go. Go ahead, pop the top. Reach in there.
Oh.
What are you
yes, dive on? Into the concrete.
We get a 2017 calendar of Barnes. Not only is this a calendar of Barnes, it is a 16-month calendar.
Yeah, there you go. 16-month 2017 calendar
this
of Barnes.
This motherfucker will last you all the way to March of 2018.
Nice, guys. That's for the Shedio there.
It's
going
to get used.
You damn
it's
right it is.
New scheduler.
Fucking A. And what's this month's barn? Oh, it's red.
I contend not a barn if it's not red.
Are they all red on the back?
Hang on. They're all goddamn red, aren't they?
No, sorry. Two of them are wood.
Oh, redwood.
Red.
There you go. And one of them is straight up white. With an American flag on it.
Oh, fuck that. Well, red, white, and blue.
Red, yeah.
America.
There's some red in there.
Red on all of them.
Red on all of them. There you go.
Yeah, not all totally.
Red roofs, red stripes.
Well, there you go, guys. Also, make sure Drew get these guys
red
barns stickers
matter.
As well. Some stickers. Trey Swervy, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks
for having us.
Really appreciate
had
it, man.
A good time.
Drewster, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And make that commercial, man. Let's make that commercial. Already. I mean, you're in the intro, but that intro doesn't last forever. My intros change.
Yeah.
It'll be there for a while, though. I am a little bit lazy. It'll be there for a while, though. Give me a goddamn commercial.
So Trey writes a new one.
That's all we get. Yeah. I'm listening, guys. I'm listening. I'm gonna hear it. Thank you guys for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. Or just go to chriscrespo.com. Remember to read more books, wake up the big banks, stuff your money into mattresses. A barn is only a barn if it's red or has red in it. Fight the power, damn the man, save the empire. Peace out. too.
Having my living room turn into a live concert venue was very odd.
I'm sure the neighbor didn't like it.
I'm sure. Well, she was a very old lady. I'm not sure if she could have heard anything.
I think she had Alzheimer's or dementia or something was going on there. So she kept herself.
I mean, if not, then I feel sorry for her.
I felt bad about that. Give me a check, 1, 2, Drew.
Check 3, 4.
I said 1, 2.
Fuck you.
Goddamn. Trey.
1, 2, fuck you.
1, 2, turn you up.
Look what I've started.
Swerby.
1, 2, fuck you.
Fuck me. Give me another one.
1, 2, 1, 2. Check, check.
How dare you, sir? You're supposed to say 2, 3, 4, fuck whores.
Yeah. 3, 4, fuck whores.
My apologies.
Yeah. Take that. Take that, women.
Not necessarily. Men can be whores, too.
Oh, very much. Absolutely, yes.
You just have to get paid for sex.
Oh, you know what? Now the sexism was on me. That part. My bad.
Yeah. Oh. Good job, Chris.
I was the sexist.
You were the sexist.
What are you trying to say? Just because you have long hair, you're a girl?
Yeah, exactly. Long, pretty hair.
What would RoboCop Jesus think about that?
Yeah, seriously.
RoboCop Jesus would be like, God damn it. Why am I doing on this hypercube?
I stared at that earlier.
Hypercube,
bro. Yeah.
Couldn't figure out what it was. Give your interpretation, Sorby, of RoboCop as hypercubus.
Yes.
Your interpretation?
Yeah. What do you think of it? What feelings does that bring up to you there?
I fear is a good representation of the future of America.
RoboCop crucified on a cube.
Crucified on a hypercube.
Does he have a gun for his big toe?
Maybe.
Pointed right at you.
That's maybe. The one toe that goes in the hood.
Yeah. Never even noticed that.
Yeah, maybe. Nice.
That's wow, I never even noticed that. That's hysterical. That's,
kick your ass and blow shithole in you.
He lifts his foot and you blow your dick off.
Or is that a bolt? Is that a bolt in his feet?
That could be him being bolted to it as well.
Because he's bolted into the middle.
I like mine better.
It does look like a gun toe.
It does.
Toe gun. Yeah, we put that there for inspiration for people. So, so at any point during the show, you're feeling a little lethargic or uninspired, you can look at RoboCop.
Stroke the beard.
Stroke your beard, look at RoboCop.
Think about it.
Being crucified in the hypercube.
But he's also got the Holy Ghost of Ed 209?
Maybe.
That's someone's spirit.